And I wanted to share a little bit about this passage. There's this passage in the book of Acts where this guy Philip is on the road and he sees this guy. And basically what happens is this guy gets baptized almost immediately. So I thought, well, let's share a little bit about that. And it starts off with this. So I'll give you some context. So at this point in the church's history, the church is being persecuted. So everyone gets scattered. In fact, since Jesus, there's the first guy who gets martyred. His name is Stephen or Stephen, depending on how you read it. And he gets martyred. And after that, the church scatters because they come in and they start killing Christians. They start saying, we don't believe it. And these are mostly the Jewish people are saying, we shouldn't allow this heretical group to exist. And so they start killing them. And they all scatter everywhere. Now, if you're like me, if trouble happens and someone starts shouting at you, you like shut up and be really quiet and try not to get noticed, right? You want to... These guys, the exact same different thing happens. They start going out. They start proclaiming the gospel more and more. They start talking more about Jesus. And everywhere they go, they're talking about Jesus. And one of the amazing things is this is almost like God saying, look, it's not just about your safety and your security, but it's about what good news this is. And so he starts sending them out. And now, then we cut to this part. Philip is going out. He's preaching and telling people about God. And then picks up here, and it starts in verse 26, which I didn't put up there, but I'll read for you. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So we have here this kind of scenario where this angel tells Philip, go down to this road, head down there, and almost like you'll receive more instructions later. And there he finds this eunuch. Now, if you don't know what a eunuch is someone who's been castrated. And the reason they do this is, especially if you're working with women, once you've been castrated, you're not going to be able to get the women anymore. And so he's working for the queen. But the other part is they become royal servants. And in this case, you can see that actually he probably has a lot of wealth. He has a lot of power. He has a lot of authority. This person is probably high up, probably works with the queen fairly regularly. But at the same time, he's gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, what that means is this person was probably not a Jewish person, but has gone to Jerusalem because he's searching for God. And what they would call them at this time, they call them God-fearers. So he wasn't Jewish, but he's a God-fearer. In other words, someone who believed in God but didn't know who the true God was and was searching for the answer. Now, if you think about this context, you understand here was someone who's actually has a lot of power, has a lot of authority. He should have a lot of meaning in his life. He has, you know, a really clear role, really clear definition of what he's supposed to be doing. But there's still this emptiness. There's this sense of being lost a little bit. Feeling like, what am I here for? So he's searching. He's searching out, and he's looking for God. So he's going to this place, and he's going to Jerusalem. He's worshiping, and he's on his way back. And he's seated in his carriage, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, at this point, it gets really interesting, because if you know about the book of Acts, you can also say it's probably the book about the Holy Spirit. It's about what the Holy Spirit does in people's lives. And at this point, this is really cool, because the Holy Spirit flat out says to Philip, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now, if you've heard the Holy Spirit speak in your life, it is this undeniable prompting. It's like this truth in your life that you're like, you know what? That is what I need to do next. And it checks out. So they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go walk along by this chariot. I'm going to go stand here. And he doesn't know what's going on, but he knows that there is a foreigner in this chariot. If they're in a chariot, probably wealthy, probably powerful. He also can probably tell he's a eunuch. So he's like, okay, well, I'll just go over there and see what happens because the Holy Spirit told me to do that. Philip is not afraid. And you understand, even with all the persecution that's coming, he's not afraid of any of this because the good news that he has is better than anything else. Now, you have to understand, this is the mentality that they have. Knowing Jesus is greater than anything else anyone could ever be facing. God is bigger and greater and stronger than all these things. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be lost. There's this truth about Jesus. Now, I think for a lot of us, it feels like we're not at that place yet, right? Like, we know about who Jesus is, but is he really that good news that supersedes everything else? So in this case here, Philip runs over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he runs over, and as he's going to the chariot, he hears the eunuch actually reading from the scriptures, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And so Philip says, oh, wide open, I'm going to ask, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replies, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. In other words, this guy is reading and trying to read and understand essentially the scriptures or the Bible, but he's having a hard time. So if someone teach me, I don't get it. He's educated because he can read. He's wealthy because he has the scriptures with him, right? These are on papyrus scrolls. You don't just get a copy of this in your local Waterstones or order from Amazon. For him to have a copy of these scriptures means, one, he has the authority and the power and the wealth to own them, and he's reading it. So he's going through it, and he's reading it, and says, I still don't understand this. And it's here at this point, he invites Philip, come into this carriage, sit with me, talk me through it. And the passage that he's reading from is Isaiah 53, which, if you know, Isaiah 53 captures exactly Jesus' suffering and sacrifice perfectly. Now, throughout this whole thing, you have two main characters, right? Philip and the eunuch. But the biggest character here is actually the Holy Spirit, who, number one, is prompting and working in the heart of this eunuch to search out truth. You have the Holy Spirit working and telling Philip where to go. You have the Holy Spirit leading the eunuch to be reading from Isaiah. And then you have this point where they're having this conversation. The Holy Spirit is still there bringing this truth to light. Now, for us, we are in those same kinds of scenarios. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, not some ghostly presence that's some sort of superstition. It's the God himself in his presence here, speaking and challenging us. If you're a believer, it's the one that tells you what's right and wrong. He's the one that tells you what to do, where to go, how the adventure can continue with him. If you don't know God, the Holy Spirit's the one that's resonating in your heart going, yeah, no, I really feel like there is something more. I really do sense that, but I don't know. I don't want to. And normally, for a lot of us, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you're the one that thinks, yeah, I don't want, I'm going to ignore that, and I just want to go about my life and catch more Pokemon. I don't want to think about these things. I just want to. But when the Holy Spirit is telling you, you know, there's something more, isn't there, in life? There's something more to live for. And we don't like hearing about it because actually the biggest thing about it is loneliness. What we're seeing here is spiritual loneliness. When you feel spiritually isolated. And it's not just when having friends around or that kind of loneliness or not having someone to call your friend or best friend or boyfriend or girlfriend. We're talking about that spiritual loneliness where something deep in your heart can never be filled, whether by your parents or your friends, or your job, it's that thing that says there's something missing. Here, this is what the eunuch is looking for. And here, this is what Philip is telling him about. Jesus came and suffered. And he took away all the guilt and sin that you have, all that loneliness, and you have this relationship with him now, if you choose to believe. Now, actually, Isaiah is a brilliant book. And back then, when they were reading it before Jesus came, they just thought it was a general prophecy for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They didn't realize that this whole passage here, for us as Christians, we realize, wow, Isaiah 53, this is the heart of the prophecy of Jesus coming. Back then, they didn't understand what this meant. Because why would you ever have a king or a prince that would suffer? But for us, we understand, well, there's no other way unless someone takes the place for us. Well, if you read a few chapters on Isaiah, and I'm feeling, my guess is that the eunuch had probably read Isaiah. This is probably not his first time reading it, because he's trying to understand it. You get a few chapters on Isaiah 56. It's really interesting, because it actually speaks directly towards people, to eunuchs, and in particular, foreigners. Let me read a little bit of this out, Isaiah 56. Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, the Lord will never let me be part of his people. And don't let eunuchs say, I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future. One of the things I never heard until I moved out here was, oh, you're Chinese. Why are you a Christian? Oh, Christian's for English people. I say, what? I didn't know that. Of course, I grew up with all Chinese Christians. And they said, why didn't you follow, you know, Buddha or Confucius? I was like, what are you talking about? You don't just pick a religion based on the color of your skin, do you? And he's like, well, if I was Chinese, I would follow Buddha. I'm like, I'm not sure Buddha's even Chinese. Just saying. But there's a sense where you know what it's like to be a foreigner, right? Where you don't quite fit in. And what we'll do is in a big problem is you'll tend to hang around with people of your own color or your own culture because you're more comfortable there. And we talk about the main cultures, whether you're come from Jamaica or from Malaysia, which would be different from China or Taiwan, or you talk about all the different parts of the Indian continent or even Europe, the Polish and the Romanians. They don't all just hang around. They'll go someplace where the culture feels more comfortable. Then you break that down to the subculture level. You know, your skaters aren't going to hang out with your highly fashion magazine gossip people, are they? They're not going to be in the same kind of group. We always want to be where we're comfortable because we feel like that's where we're going to have friends or where we're going to belong. In Isaiah 56, it says, don't let foreigners or people outside or people who don't feel like they're really part of Christian commit themselves to God and say, well, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never really going to fit in. That's why he says also for the eunuchs. You know, don't people that say, the eunuchs say, I'm a dried up tree with no children, no future. The hardest thing about eunuch, it's the same as those who can't have children. It's a sense of like, I have no legacy. I have no future. It's just this and then that's the end. And there's this loneliness comes from that. In this passage, God is saying, God brings you into the family. He gives you a hope. He gives you a future. He gives you a legacy. And you talk about spiritual children and spiritual life and spiritual connection. And that emptiness that has been in your heart for so long suddenly gets filled with the very presence of God himself. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, and I will be with you forever. In other words, you don't even know what commitment means, but God himself will commit to you. It's why, as the scriptures are explained, the eunuch just gets it. He understands his position in life is not a eunuch. I mean, he's called. I mean, his name in this is the eunuch. That's his name. Eunuch who worked for the queen of Ethiopia. But at the end of this, he realizes that's not who I am. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a eunuch. I'm not even whatever culture he is, which isn't specified. He understands that he belongs to God. And straight away he says, if I can make this go. Oh, as they were rolling, they came to the water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Baptize me now. Because I understand and I know that there is nothing that I want to ever separate me from God. I devote myself to him. Baptism back then, it was the sense of saying, it was the commitment. Look, I declare I belong to God. And I'm washed clean by him. I will turn to no other gods. I don't pick this one and all the other gods. I know that this is the truth. And so he ordered the carriage to stop, and they get out of the carriage, and Philip just baptizes them right there. Now, this is amazing. Now, in the church history, they believe that actually this Ethiopian, because right after this, a crazy thing happens. Philip disappears, basically. He says he was snatched away, and he ends up someplace else. It's almost like he was teleported to another place. The eunuch, he doesn't seem to mind. He doesn't seem to think this is a big deal. He just goes on praising God. And actually, they say, well, you know what? He's probably the one that actually helped start administer and start the churches in Ethiopia, in those parts. It's pretty amazing because you see God at work throughout history, throughout lives, throughout countries, beyond what we think just through elections or through wars. And you start realizing, you know what? That's what it really means to be part of God's family. You are connected in a way that transcends economics, transcends your political ideas, transcends your race. It says, God, who is King and Lord, Jesus, who is Savior, gives us his very own spirit to show us how to live. and what it means to follow him. See, this is what it means to be washed clean. So one of the things, I finished my sabbatical, I came back home, and I thought, well, I got a few days, I'm stuck at home with the kids, what should I do? I said, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clean the tiles in our backyard. Because they're really dirty and mossy, and they look kind of like this. So I said, okay, well, actually what happened was my wife sent me to go buy shoes for the kids up at One Stop, which is like 30 minutes away. So I went to go buy shoes, took 5 minutes because I'm a guy, said, like, they fit, let's go. Then I said, oh, let's go, we'll stop by and get some groceries because I'm really domestic. And I went to the Morrisons by Kang. Your dad's garage is not Morrisons anymore. It's the Range. So I go in there, and I'm walking through this Range. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy this thing, this brush. And then I saw this. They have these TVs that show commercials, and they had this metal brush that can scrub patios. And I was like, whoa. And I said, oh, I'm going to buy this. I said, that commercial really worked on me. Like, and then Alex, my son, was like, wow, that commercial really worked on you, Dad. I said, yeah, totally. I'm going to buy this. I'm not going to think about it. It's only 10 pounds. I'm going to go and buy it. So I went home, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try scrubbing it and see what it's like. So I'm scrubbing. And when you're scrubbing dirty stuff, it just looks dirtier because you can't tell. So I was like, okay, well, I've been scrubbing for a bit. Let's see how good this works. So I sprayed it down. And I go, whoo, this is so exciting, huh? You guys, look at the video. Oh, my gosh, this commercial is working on you, too. So it's at the Range. It's $9.99. Just kidding. So there's a real satisfying feeling to having something being scrubbed clean. And so at the end, this is what the tile actually looks like. Now, wow. Should I just do commercials every week and not preach? I feel like I'll just buy another product from there. So what was really funny was my kids looked at this and said, oh, we didn't even know it was that color. Because they were too young to know what the original color looked like. And I thought, you know what? That is like our lives spiritually, actually. We've been covered in so much muck and so much dirt in our lives for so long, we don't even know what we're supposed to look like. And we find all these ways to fill up that emptiness and fill up that loneliness. And so when this thing comes by and you're reading the scriptures and this truth is resonating and you're like, there's something more. And when Philip told the eunuch this thing, and he understood, this is who I really am. This is what I'm really supposed to be. This is the life I want. It was like, of course, scrub away. I give my life to you, God, so that you can be in charge of the scrubbing and the polishing and the cleaning up of my life so that I'm not covered with mud and gunk anymore, so that I can finally remember who you made me to be, and what my purpose is. So there's this comparison then, of what it's like before and what's like after. That's good news. That's the good news of Jesus. It's his life in us that gives us this new life. If you know that the Spirit is convicting your heart, maybe you've been away from God for a while. You're like, you know, church is boring. I just don't feel like I'm getting anything. It's not about church. It's actually about God. Say, you know, God, I want to come back to you. I want to be washed clean again. I want to remember who I am. If you've been following God, but you know that you've been covered with dirt, or maybe a bird's pooped on you and you feel like, oh, life is just horrible, just say, God, can you cleanse me again? Can you make me clean so that I know where I belong? And if this is the first time you're hearing about Jesus, but you know that there is a spiritual emptiness in your life, just be like the eunuch. Just say, God, now, today, I want to belong to you. Come and live with me now. Let's pray. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Father, you are our King and your Savior. You're the one who gave Jesus to us to pay the price, so that we could be washed clean. He was that brush who was perfect in the beginning, but after all the scrubbing, took all the sin of the world. Lord, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask now that as you speak to us and you convict our hearts and you challenge us, Lord, let us move to repentance. Let us be restored. Let us be washed clean again in you. Let your life fill us once again, Lord. We lift your name up, Lord, and we come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you come to a little bit more time of worship, spend this time actually just praying, reconnecting with God. And again, if this is your first time, you're like, you know what, I don't know who God is, but I want to know him. You know, take the time now to say, you know, God, I want to believe in you. And after the service, there's little welcome packs. Just fill out there and say, you know, this is my first time, and I want to follow Jesus. And someone will come and follow up with you this week. Let's come and worship and pray.